This podcast was originally recorded for Turfs Up Radio and repurposed for Around the Turf Scene podcast.
Oh my gosh, am I excited today? Today is Crabgrass Preventative Day with my buddies from Corteva. Justin, just know that all of the technical issues are on my end, okay? It's not you, it's always me here. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the first time we have recorded on Zoom along with Audio Hijack. So we're live on Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station. I'm Beth Berry. I'm ahead of the curb, and I'm the Vice President of Turf and Ornamental for Advanced Turf Solutions. We are based in Fishers, Indiana, and I have had so much fun this year catching up with old friends in the industry from when I was at Scott's and when I was at Real Green, and partnering with really cool folks like yourself and the Corteva team. Tell us about the features of Dimension that will take away my PTSD from when I was at Scott's Miracle-Gro and we would have the yellow dog. And also, I wasn't home today to water that. So what are some of the features that really make Dimension a cool product?
Yeah, so Dave, hopefully you can hear me all right.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Perfect. I can hear you. Yes, perfect. Awesome. So, so Dave kind of touched on a lot of those, but he touched a little bit on just the ability for it to, not have any staining just due to the pyridine chemistry versus the DNA chemistry. He touched on the post-emergent crabgrass control. So they missed that window. I think the biggest thing is just the flexibility of Dimension, being able to weatherproof, really not have to be worried about whether or not we missed that window, not worried about whether or not we got the frost or was the frost enough to delay germination. Just having that peace of mind is huge, and having that foundation of having that pre-emergent down and knowing that it's going to be there and be able to work regardless of what the weather throws at you is a huge, huge deal. So
here in the Midwest,
that's the biggest thing.
It's 70 degrees. I'm loving this. Yeah. And so if we get a few days here, you're saying the crabgrass is going to start germinating.
It could. Yeah. If we have enough of those degree days, it absolutely could. And Dave, I know there's some studies out there. I know I've looked at a few from, just even down in Georgia. There's a couple at UGA, there's Arkansas, some at Rutgers that have all shown that post-emergent control guys can feel comfortable about the fact that if it is germinating, they can get some pretty good control up to that first tiller stage. So,
yeah, awesome. That's right. I mean, it's a temperature thing. So having those air temperatures would drive the soil temperatures up.
And so you've got a longer window, but my favorite part, before I get to Aaron Bucci's questions here, is how about the fact that it has post-emergent qualities as well?
Well, yeah, that's definitely one of our main features of the Dithiapyr Dimension product, is that it brings that post-emergence control. And that's not just post from a liquid application, that's also from a granular application. So our applicators don't have to switch gears and go from a dry to a liquid in order to get that post control. They can keep using that dry material on that fertilizer and still get that control that they're looking for.
That is amazing. Up to five tillers, am I correct?
That is five tillers. We generally talk about that for warmer season grasses. In the north, we would probably say, that three tiller area, it probably is where you're going to see the most, just because of the competition differences that we would see in the north. But still, yeah, well past that early emergence, but quite into that tillering stage.
Let's talk about rates compared to prodiamine. What should our listeners know about the rates of Dimension versus prodiamine?
Yeah, typically we see, and it's a great question because we oftentimes get asked that, because I know with prodiamine, there's a lot of confusion when you start to look at some of the brands, right? And you start to see the 2EW versus the 4L in terms of prodiamine. And so folks are like, oh, I'm using one pint of each, so it must be the same. Well, it's not. You got to look at the loading, right? So we typically see a lot of differences there, and we have to kind of remind folks that the loading's not the same. And so typically you see, if you're using, prodiamine at a certain rate, you're going to use about half of that rate and dimension. So if you're using a full pound of AI of prodiamine, you're probably going to need around that pound of or half pound rate of active for dimension. And so it's usually when we're using dimension, it's about that 1.5 to 2 pounds or 2 times that for prodiamine. So you're using much less than what you would in terms of active ingredient when it comes to dimension. That makes sense.
It does make sense. Let's talk about the formulation flexibility. I'm a big proponent of taking the entire TNO world back to 100% liquid. I started at Kimlon with the big tankers. I don't see freight going anywhere. And so I'm a big proponent of liquid. I think consumers view it as a professional grade application that they can't get at Home Depot, but that's a debate for another day. You all have a lot of flexibility in terms of how this is formulated. Tell us about it.
Go ahead, Justin.
No, you're great. It's a lot of options, right? You got a lot of options. We've got everything from a liquid standpoint. We've got the water-based formulation in the EW. You're looking at a half gallons to 2.5 gallons to the 30-gallon drums. You've got for folks that love to have that, you've got those folks that really like those water soluble packets that are out there. We've got the 40 WSP, option. You've also got it on a granule, fertilizer. I mean, that's a huge, win for a lot of folks that like to spread it. So definitely a lot of options out there for that. We also have co-packs that are packaged with our other product called Fender. That's a more of a broadleaf product. That works great for that cool season application that goes down along with dimension. And so it's just a lot of opportunities for flexibility there for whatever they're looking for when it comes to applying that pre-emergent to get that foundational, application down.
Defender is amazing, I would just like to say.
It's been a good one for sure.
So tell us about the chemistry, the pyridine chemistry versus DNA.
Well, so they're both kind of in that same category. They're called meiotic disruptors. So they work on the roots and really tender shoots that are underground. Now, the DNAs, they work in a slightly different way, different site of action, if you will. But than what we see with the dithiopure or the dimension product, in essence, they work in that they prevent that root from properly growing and dividing and spreading and everything that roots need to do underneath the ground, and that they break that process up inside the plant. So they work a lot the same way. It's just what specific site within that process they act upon.
I should have spent more time in science class, I can tell you that. So what is it specifically that allows it to be non-staining, which, by the way, really saves TNO owners a lot of callbacks?
That comes right back from the formulation.
It's okay.
The active ingredient itself is not formulated with that yellow type color. And, if we could take that yellow out of that the DNA products, they probably would have by now. It's just that's the nature of that particular molecule, just the in how it's formulated and its active ingredient.
And there's some other characteristics too that I think are unique to the pyridine chemistries. I mean, as you look at like things that, when you look at dithiopure versus prodiamine, some of the things that are different, it's just, we talked about the watering in piece, right? That 24 to 48 hours of having to get watered in. The DNA typically break down by sunlight. Mm-hmm. So they have to get watered in order to get away from that sunlight, right? The half life is usually 2 to 3 days. Whereas the pyridines typically don't break down by sunlight, usually microbial action. So they have a little bit longer that they can sit out without being watered in. And so things like that to kind of differentiate them within that group.
Interesting. Okay, we're going to talk about driver weeds before we hear from our sponsors again. Yeah, give me all the goods on the driver weeds.
Dimension's got some great great things on the label. You know, obviously, along with you know, some of the things that you'll see on Verdami's label as well, you know, obviously crabgrass, goosegrass, those types of things. Dimension's also going to pick up some things like bittercress. It's going to pick up things like Dallas grass, silt grass, black medic, lespediza, some things that you're not going to see on some of those other pre-emergent labels. But it's those key weeds that you see across some of the Midwest into the Northeast, Mid-South areas, even in the Southeast, are pretty key and have been some reasons why folks have been choosing Dimension for a long time. Yep.
Wow. How long has Dimension been around?
Oh, 80s?
80s?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, in development, probably late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. It's been about 40 years. Sure.
And is this true? It's a one app across most zones?
Well, we certainly could go the one app. We actually recommend a split application.
Okay.
Just simply to keep, knowing that Dimension has that early post activity as well.
Right.
We see it better as a split application, that first one going out, in the springtime to get a residual product pre-emerge. But then kind of to recharge, if you will, that residual component, but also pick up any ones that may have escaped through with that second application. We find the most consistent and best results with a split application of this product.
When I was at Scott's Lawn Service, we, in conjunction with Ernst and Young, did a huge project on service call callbacks and cancel save retention rates. And when you would thin slice service calls for the reason crabgrass, gosh, those were really tough to solve. And if the customer either because of weather demands or the customer was on financial hold, or for whatever reason, we didn't get that down in that very tight window, you weren't going to control it very well with post-emergence the rest of the year. And we didn't get those customers back. It is such a critical aspect of turf and ornamental that ties directly to retention. So when I have conversations with turf and ornamental owners looking for a bargain route to pre-emergent, it's just dangerous territory, because if you don't control that in the window where it is controllable, you're not going to win that customer back. They already don't trust you. And there is such amazing science with these premium herbicides in pre-emergence available.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
What about fall applications? And I'm just talking way over my head now. Is anyone using it in the fall or winter in some areas?
Yeah, we actually see quite a bit used in the fall, actually, for POA control. They'll use it a lot in the Southeast, Mid-South areas for POA applications. And a lot of times they'll in the South, we'll actually use it in combination with one of our products called Curb, another pre-emergent that has some post-emergent capabilities as well for POA. So it makes a good rotation in product with that, as well as a few other pre-emergents they'll work in and post-emergent, depending upon what they're trying to do with the transition with ryegrass if they are overseeding during the winter months.
Interesting. Any turf types that Dimension is not labeled for?
Just some of your colonial bent grass, you may see a little bit of injury, but it's probably one of the safest products we see pre-emergence on turf grass. It's everything from, you know, the really tender St. Augustine up to, you know, fescue that you can, and Bermuda grass that, you know, you can beat on and not have any issues with.
Very, very versatile. I like the way you said beat on.
Well, we certainly do beat on our fescue and Bermuda grass athletic fields. That's for sure.
So ATS obviously serves turf and ornamental. Those are my people, golf and sports turf. So they perform equally on all those type turfs?
They do. Yeah, it certainly does. We look at it from a golf standpoint, you know, how with the heights that they use and intensive management that they have all the way up to your, you know, industrial parks that have very low management programs on their turf. You see excellent performance in this product.
I've learned more about fungicides for golf courses in the last 90 days than I've known in three decades being at ATS. But Justin, you were a former superintendent. Do you approach crabgrass control any differently on a golf course than you would in turf and ornamental?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same in a way. I mean, you're using it as kind of your background. I mean, yeah, as a backbone, I guess, or as a foundation. It's something that you don't skimp, you don't mm-hmm. skip. You constantly are, it doesn't matter what your budget is. You put it in. It's one of those things where you have to have it. In the year that you skip it, if you do, you know it, and it's going to be a battle fighting it. Just like you would with fungicides, right? You skimp on your fungicides, and you're gonna know it, and it's gonna be a battle trying to get back into it. So, I think it's one of those things where on the golf course we put it in. We did double shots. We did split applications, and we did it every year religiously. And it was just something that we knew we had to have.
What's the science say about skipping a year? Can you get away with that if you've got a good stand of turf?
No, it's not a complete reset, but it's pretty close. You know, that one seed rain or seed generation that year you skip, it'll take 2 to 3 years to battle that back, unfortunately, just because crabgrass is a very proficient seed producer, and you know, that seed will stay viable for a few years underneath that thatch. So, yeah, you miss a year, you're paying it forward for the next 2 or 3.
Okay, we're going to take a last break here from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all the asterisks. Like, what about when I'm seeding, Beth? When can I apply that? What if it rains right after that application? All of those FAQs that we would get from residential homeowners that have to do with pre-emergent crabgrass control. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. I'm Beth Berry, Ahead of the Curb, your industry, your station here on Turf's Up.
Maximize your profitability with the industry's most productive and powerful ride-on spreader sprayer from Steel Green Manufacturing. Steel Green machines come standard with a decked-out 23.5 horsepower engine, 30-amp charging system, and Donaldson engine air filtration system. With equipment customization, attachments, and accessories, Steel Green has a machine for you. Visit steelgreenmfg.com for more information. That's steelgreenmfg.com.
I am back. This is Beth Berry. I am your host of Ahead of the Curb on Turf's Up Radio, your industry, your station. And I actually have two guests from Corteva with me today talking about all things pre-emergent crabgrass control. We're all based in Indianapolis. We should have just hung out in someone's patio. It's going to be like a blockbuster germination day today. It's that kind of day. Usually we don't see till May that makes me want to play hooky here in Indiana. I don't know. I'm getting ready to head to Florida, so I'll get more of this hopefully when I get there. But let's talk about the industry first, and then we're going to finish up our hour with some of the asterisks and some of the FAQs I get from Turf's Up Radio listeners and advanced turf clients about your product, which is completely amazing. The demand so far has been fantastic. Again, in March of 2020, when I was at Real Green, we were battening down the hatches, and some states weren't essential. And I led the charge with some of my friends at NALP to help get us essential in every single state. And then we still weren't sure, you know, is demand going to still be there for turf and ornamental? I was in the industry in 2008, and those were some scary days, my friend. And you don't have to look much farther than your local cable TV station to wonder, oh gosh, is this going to continue? I had a conversation with Alex Cannon last night, our founder, and he, if you know Alex, he's pretty reserved anyway, but he's like, well, it looks like it's going to be another good year, as he's knocking on wood. I suppose you all are seeing what the rest of our listeners are seeing, which is demand is still very high for residential and commercial turf and ornamental treatment.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're seeing, I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, you see golf course rounds are up significantly and continue to be a lot of interest in golf, which is fantastic for the industry, quite frankly. Lawn care operators seem to be adding accounts left and right, which has been great. The nursery business, we have reports of nurseries being out of stock of their inventories just because they can't keep stuff in. And so it's definitely a good problem to have. Folks are focusing their money and dollars on their houses and on their on golf memberships, things like that. So it's been a great problem to have in terms of leading to stock out the products and things like that. So it's been good but bad at the same time. But lots of demand, and I don't think we're going to see an end of that here anytime soon. At least not in 2022, based on all indicators right now.
And that's what we're seeing, and that's very exciting. And now for the $10 million question, what about availability? Like, Beth, you've got us so hyped up. We're all ready to go out and buy Dimension Ice. So help me, if I call ATS and can't get it, there's going to be trouble.
Yeah, we're constantly battling to try to get production. So yeah, we've got production online. Actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, I just talked to our marketing manager here recently, and I think we're actually producing right now. So we should have
this week.
This week. So it's very timely that we're having this conversation.
So you guys know, I checked with Christina in purchasing before I asked that question, and she received the same indication from you all before I walked you into a corner.
Cool. Yeah. Good. So yeah, we have production going. It's usually especially with Dimension, it's usually all year round, or at least most of the year we're producing. So it's definitely something that we always have going.
That's amazing. Okay, so FAQs, frequently asked questions from turf and ornamental business owners and managers. Beth, where does Dimension fit in with a customer that I need to do some seeding with? What is your best advice for that?
I would say that for Dimension, if you look at this, your seeding probably going to hopefully target that fall seeding timing. So spring application, you should be fine. You certainly don't want to push it too far into the summer because Dimension would cause some issues with reseeding grasses in particular into an overseeding or even a redo of a sod area. So you do have to be careful of that just to avoid any challenges when it comes to that seed germination.
I've learned more about seed than I've known in 3 decades from Rusty Staklowitz. We are a powerhouse of seed at Advanced Turf. And he states, for most areas, certainly fall is still the best time to seed. It goes hand in hand with aeration. But you certainly should not seed if you're using Dimension. Is that correct?
Yes, that later application, or certainly not a fall. You can't seed right after an application, for
Got
sure.
It. And what's the tolerance for rainfall? Going back to my PTSD days at Scott's, when the customer would call in and say, it literally monsooned right after he left. So sometimes that would be true. And, in the Midwest, right. You can't predict the weather. If we didn't go treat lawns every time there was a 30% chance of rain, we'd never get anything done. But sometimes it would rain right afterwards, and sometimes it would be a day later, and you'd still have to convince the customer. What's the tolerance for irrigated turf following an application of Dimension?
Well, so we're talking about pre-emergence. So, we talked about this earlier about irrigating or watering in. So, a typical rainstorm after an application is probably a good thing in this case, because you're getting it into that soil where that seed's at. Now, if we're talking post-emergence control, we like to see, a few hours, a day if we can, applied onto that plant before it would be watered or washed through. So, you know, from a pre-emergence, I think we're set. You know, gully washers, you know, where you get 3 inches of rain, that might be a little bit different story, but obviously we can't ever predict those. But, you know, just a simple rainstorm afterwards, we're fine.
And if it were a gully washer, as we get here in the Midwest, and that is actually the technical term for it. I know you guys went to Purdue and I went to IU, but gully washer is is the term. How soon could you reapply that in order to make that homeowner happy that you did the reapplication?
Well, a lot of that, I think you probably want to wait and see. You don't want to go out just assuming that it's all going to be gone. So, you know, give it a couple weeks to see if you see the control or germinating grasses. But generally speaking, when we talk about reapplications or sequential applications, we're going to wait at least 5 weeks between those to really make sure what we did the first time worked, or, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work in rare conditions like this. So just give the product time. And whether it be, you know, Dimension that we're talking about now or even other products, it's just a good idea not to, to panic the day after and say, well, it must be gone because it rained.
Right.
That's probably not the right answer to have. Yeah. These products are not ones that typically will move through the soil very easily. So once they bind, they're pretty insoluble. So they're only going to move with the soil if the soil moves.
And that's been the story for as long as I've been in the industry. It's just so difficult to convince the homeowner who thinks it's all gone and I need it reapplied. Those are the same people who think more is better and use Roundup on their lawn. I'm going to get rid of that dandelion. I just went and bought some Roundup. You go. Let's watch that. So last few minutes we have here, back on the post-emergent qualities of the product, what is the time frame for which you would advise consumers that they would start to see the weeds curl and die? How long does it take for the post-emergent to begin to work?
The injury symptoms and the control is going to be slow as well, because it's a biology effect. So it takes a while for, quite honestly, the injury to grow into the plant, if you want to think of it that way. Now, you know, things are growing nice, got, you know, enough moisture, enough sunlight, all that, temperatures are nice. You'll probably see effects within a few days to a week for sure. I know in previous years where I've actually, quote unquote, played around with in my backyard for research, I've actually seen, you know, excellent performance within 3-4 days. You see those crabgrass starting to turn a little brown or purple color and start to die. One of the first things that I noticed with those is really that they stop growing. You know, if you mowed them and they're 3 inches tall, a week later, they're still 3 inches tall. So, you know, they immediately stop that activity. It's probably going to be your first thing that you see.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. You know what we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks? I don't know if it's you all, but we're going to talk about a very cool product called Crew. Anyone want to give me a little commercial for Crew?
It's great. Great product. Crew is a great product. So it actually has a little bit of Dimension in there, along with another one of our pre-emergents and galleries. So isoxaben, another great pre-emergent for broadleaf control.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a very cool year, that's for sure. And then the product that's not labeled, darn it, for residential is Game On. What a great brand name for you all. Give us a little 60-second pitch on Game On.
For me, Game On is probably going to be the premier product that you see used. The flexibility of it, you know, it currently is not residential, but we're actually very hopeful that that'll be changing in the very near future. But we see this as, you know, it gives you your typical broadleaf control that you're looking for, your clover, your dandelion, clover, dandelion, plantain, you know, some of your typical weeds, but it also picks up some of your other tougher ones. It'll pick up ground ivy. It'll pick up some of your, actually, it'll pick up violets with multiple applications, you know. So, you know, tougher weeds that we see later in the fall. And it has that flexibility to be applied earlier in the spring through the summer. The as we see restrictions with 2,4-D products due to temperatures, our product, the Game On product, does not have that temperature restriction. So you have that flexibility as well.
That is going to be absolutely amazing. You guys are busy over there at Corteva. When are we going to get the organic weed control? Any thoughts on that?
Organic weed control. Well, we have some other biologicals in our lineup, but we don't have an organic weed control yet. So.
No, I get asked that all the time. Martha Stewart will post, "Oh, you just use vinegar; it works great." Yeah, Martha, it really doesn't. I've tried that.
No, not there yet. Yep.
That is a fact. Well, this is a wrap. My name is Beth Berry. I'm ahead of the curb on Turfs Up Radio with my buddies Justin and Dave from Corteva. Told us all the things about pre-emergent crabgrass control. We're off to a great year. I know where you can buy Dimension. You can buy it at Advanced Turf, and we'd love to sell it to you with the support of you all. Thanks so much for being our partner. It's been a terrific relationship, and we look forward to introducing these new upcoming products.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.